to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame.
Say that again. My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
We sing this hymn of praise and of truth. truth, there is a fountain filled with blood. Let's sing that together.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's hands, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty state, lose all their guilty state, lose all their guilty state, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty state. The dying thing rejoice to see by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till
this poor, let's sing that out, church.
When this poor, this brings every tongue, I silent in the rain. And in an over sweeter song,
sing that to you. Father God, you are holy. You are worthy. You are wonderful. We sing of your power and your might, your goodness and your grace. Father, we are reminded today that we find victory because of that fountain. We find victory because of the blood of Jesus. I pray if there's one person here that doesn't understand that, they would come to see clearly who you are and what you're doing and the fact that you bring salvation. But for those of us who know you, may we be reminded of the grateful hearts we are to have because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Please speak to us as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you will, take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 1. This is week 6 of our series called Finding Joy. We find joy through the book of Philippians. We all know what happens when you do not pay attention. Everyone in here has had a moment where you forgot or failed to pay attention and it cost you in some way. When I was 4 years old, I was helping my mother bring in the groceries. And even though that was 47 years ago, I remember it like yesterday because I failed to pay attention. And in failing to pay attention, as I made my way back to the door running with the bag of groceries, I reached for the handle and missed it and went through the storm glass door. And I have the scars 47 years later all up and down my arm and on my ear that bear and remind me that I should have paid better attention. I remember the day I turned 16. It's not this way anymore. Some teenagers rush to get their license, but it's a new trend. A lot of students wait a while before they go and grab their driver's license. But in my day, when you turned 16, you went that day, unless it was a weekend, to get your driver's license. And so I went on my birthday. I stayed out of school to do that morning, got there. The person got beside me to take the test, and I was driving and doing great, but I failed to pay attention to the Alabama driver's manual in the weeks leading up to that. And that person beside me who was giving me the test, the proctor said, "I want you to stop right here and make a 3-point turn." They might as well have asked me to land the lunar module on the moon. I did not know what a 3-point turn was. I assumed it meant three things, so I did three things. It was not the right three things. And so they said, "Well, go back, you have failed." It was the end of life as I know it. But I have to go to school and people are going to say, "Did you get your license?" So I didn't go to school the rest of the day. I stayed home. I went and studied and I went back the next day and took it again. But I failed to pay attention to that one little part and it cost me dearly. Now, before I keep going with my message, can we have a little sidebar, a little timeout? And this is not part of the message, but I don't want you to miss this. 16-year-old me thought that was the worst thing that could ever happen in life, like my life was over. I was embarrassed. I was dumb. I have done something that everyone was going to find out, and it would affect the rest of my life forever. But the reality is, the next day it was over, and nobody knew. Somebody in this room probably needs to hear me say this today. When you failed in some way, your failure was an event. It is not a definition of who you are. So when you fail, and you will fail, you better fail. If you're not failing, you're not doing anything. And when you fail, please know that's an event. That's one thing. It's not defining who you are. You are who God is making you to be. Amen? That's the truth. Somebody needed to hear that. That was free. Didn't cost any extra. Let's get back to the message. So we all fail to pay attention at some point. And usually embarrassment for ourselves or injury or difficulty follows in some way. But what if I told you that paying attention, not failing to do so, but paying attention is one of the best ways to love people near you? The greatest compliment you can pay someone is to pay attention. The greatest payment you can pay to someone is to pay attention. The greatest respect you can pay to someone when you pay your respects is to pay attention. Well, the Apostle Paul gives us this incredible formula for showing love and respect by paying attention to the people around you and speaking about that to them. So that's in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 3. Listen to what he says. We've read a couple of these verses last week. They just set the tone. He says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." Verse 8, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all affection of Christ Jesus." Excuse me. He says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now, don't miss this. If you were to take what Paul just told the Philippians, you could break it down into three phrases. Here they are. These phrases can be life-changing for the people around you if you'll use them. Paul said this, "I have you in my mind, I have you in my heart, and I have you in my prayers." That's it. He says, I have you in my mind, I have you in my heart, I have you in my prayers. Look at it. He says, I thank God every time I remember you. I have you in my mind. I hold you in my heart and yearn for you with affection of Christ Jesus. I have you in my heart. And then he says, it is my prayer for you. I have you in my prayers. Could there be a more sincere way for you to encourage your friends, for you to encourage your faith family, for you to encourage your children, your parents, a neighbor, than to tell them, I have you in my heart, I have you in my mind, I have you in my heart, and I have you in my prayers. Listen, I love to get texts, and I love to get cards from people who have thought of me. To be honest with you, that encouragement, it really means a great deal to me. And I try to be transparent as your pastor, and a couple of months ago, I shared in a message that on Mondays, it's a real spiritual battle for me a lot of times because Sundays are a spiritual battle that's draining. And after you fight that fight for a while, the enemy tries to mess with my mind and my heart some on Mondays. And I told you that, not looking for anything, but the reality is I've always had a conviction that you need a pastor to be transparent. Nobody needs a fake pastor, a pretend pastor, or a guarded one. And so I shared that with you. But I want you to know, since that has happened, there has not been one single Monday, not one single Monday that I don't get two or three texts or calls or emails from someone who says, it's Monday, I know this can be a hard day, and I just want to encourage you for a moment. That means the world to me. And I want you to know that because that means the world to me, I believe it would mean the world to others as well. So let's take a play from Paul's playbook here, and I want to encourage you to do something every day this week. Here's some homework. For the next 7 days, I want to ask you to show love and encouragement to somebody every single day by telling them, hey, you are on my mind, you're in my heart, and you're in my prayers. It can be a simple text where you text someone and say, you crossed my mind today, so I want you to know I'm thankful for you, and I pray that God would, and then you fill in the blank, whatever it is, something simple for them. Now listen, here's a little hint. There's going to be crowd participation in today's invitation. When we have our invitation at the end of this message, I'm going to ask every last one of you who have a phone in here to take it out, to text someone and say, you're on my mind, you're in my heart, and I'm praying for you for this. We're going to put our words into actions today. If you don't have your phone, don't worry. There's something you can do too. We'll talk about it when we get there. But I'm warning you ahead of time. That's where we're going before we're done here. Let's look at Paul's model prayer, though, for what he says is important and how we pray for others. And we'll use that the rest of our time together. Look at verse 9. He says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now that sounds like a nice poetic prayer, but look at the meat of what he is saying. It's a great prayer for you to pray for yourself. It's a great prayer for you to pray for your family. It's a great prayer for you to pray for others. Paul says, I'm praying that your hearts and your minds would both be renewed. He prays that our love would grow in knowledge and discernment. So he's praying this for your love for Jesus to grow in knowledge and discernment, and your love for others to grow in knowledge and discernment. So what he's saying is he's praying that your love would be mature. Let me give you an example that I hope will help it make sense. It's discerning love. It's learning to be mature and have more information as you love others and not let it be surface only. There's an image that will be on the screen behind me. And as you look at this, if I were to ask you what color is this, most of us would look and say, very simply, it's blue. What colors are those? They're blue. They're all blue. Now, that's a simple response from an eye like mine and an eye like most of yours. The majority of us in the room would say, there's this blue, that blue, and that blue. But to a sophisticated eye, to a trained eye, to a mature eye when it comes to colors, to the graphics artist in the room, we have a couple in our church, we have one on our staff, Stephen McClendon, part-time, to the interior decorators, we have some in our church that understand and can do. When they look at this, they don't just see blue. What they see is this. They see Pantone 2726C. They see Pantone 2728C. They can see things you and I could never begin to see. Why? Because they are mature in their understanding of colors. It doesn't mean you're colorblind and you can't see it. It doesn't mean that you're simple in the sense that what you believe doesn't matter. It's they have a more discerning understanding of what they're looking at than you or I, most of us would. Now, That's a picture of what we're seeing in this prayer, in a sense. It's the idea that we have a more mature, discerning understanding of the love of Christ. And maturity will bring understanding. So it's a discerning love and a loving discernment. Here's the way I wrote it down. There is a difference between someone who feels love for God and someone who grows their love for God in the knowledge of God. We're talking about mature faith. Brand new believers love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But a mature believer who's been growing in their faith for decades and has a deeper understanding of who God is, they have a discerning love for God and for others. It's a more mature love. And the truth is, every believer in this room, everyone within the sound of my voice, can have a more mature love. Let's have crowd participation for just a second. If you will, this is a simple question. If you love God, would you raise your hand? Go ahead, real quick. I'm not even going to look. I'm assuming every hand's up. You can put them down. If you raised your hand, every single one of us who raised our hands need a more mature love for God. Brand new Christians for 1 month can mature in their love for Him. People who have been Christians for a decade can mature in their love for Him. There are people in this room. Let's do it this way. How about this? This will be fun. If you have known Jesus, if you have been a Christian for at least 70 years, would you raise your hand up high right now? If you've been a Christian at least 70 years, there are several hands in this room. Now, I got to tell you, I want to just say praise the Lord for you, and I'm thankful for you and for who you are. That's amazing that you, yes, that's amazing. So, but there are others, and I won't say it this way, but it might be a little more embarrassing for some, that maybe you've been a Christian for weeks. You have an excitement and a joy. And some of those that have been Christians 70 plus years have an excitement and a joy, but the difference is they have had years of being able to grow and mature in that. And so we can work toward that in our faith. That is our desire. Now, here's the reality though. Not every person who has been a Christian a long time has matured in their faith. And so there would be some, maybe you've been a Christian a decade, but you're a year old when it comes to your growth. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. You will not mature in your faith if you do not have a regular, consistent commitment to the Word of God. Let me say it again. You can get all excited and emotional in worship service. You can have all the emotion that you could think of. But if you're not growing in the knowledge and understanding of who God is from His Word, I promise you, you are not maturing in your faith. So the question is, or the statement would be this, every one of us can and should be maturing in our love for God. How do we do it? It's God's Word. Now that sounds simple, but let me explain the three parts of that. It is God's Word taken in, it is God's Word understood, and it is God's Word lived out. God's Word taken in, God's Word understood, and God's Word lived out. The scripture is clear about it time and time again. Paul talks about being renewed in our minds. Paul talks about this idea over and over and over. But here in this letter to the Philippians, Paul is reminding them that they can have a more mature love. And I would say to you today that that comes through a deeper understanding of the Word of God and practical living it out. So are you struggling with one of those areas? Are you struggling with taking in the Word of God regularly? If that's the case, please hear me say this. Don't be offended. You will have a simple love for God and not a discerning love for God. It'll still be love, but it won't be near what God would have for you. And I don't want you to miss out. You got to take in the Word of God. Secondly, maybe for you though, maybe you take it in, but you struggle to understand it. There's not a person in this room who regularly reads God's Word that hasn't had at some point in their life where they read something and they said, I don't know what that means. I understand that's part of it. But what we learn to do is to understand and practically apply the scripture in different ways. You may say, I don't really know how to do that. I can read it, but I don't know how to understand it. Well, let me help you with that. You can go to our website, albertvillefbc.church. And you can look there on the homepage. You'll see a section called Next Steps. If you click on Next Steps, it's the next step to take in your life. It's going to have multiple places there that talk about how you get to know God better through the Word of God, ways to understand it, ways to apply it. There are steps and questions you ask, and it's designed to help you grow in not just taking it in. Anybody can take it in, but in understanding it and what it means in the context and how to apply it to your life. But maybe for you, it's not understanding it. Maybe if we're being honest, for you, the struggle is just to live out what we live. Quite a few of us, I don't know who said this statement, but it's a powerful and convicting statement, that the modern believer and most believers have knowledge beyond obedience. We've taken in more knowledge than we're willing to obey at times. And so in my own life, I have seen that from time. So the key is that we learn how to live it out. And how do we do that? We take what we understand from the Word of God, and we take the next right step in front of us to live out what that verse says. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple. So a mature faith will involve your heart and your mind, taking it in, understanding, and the practical steps to live it out. I want to encourage you, don't just settle for an emotional experience. I get excited in worship. I love to be emotional. I love when God stirs my emotions. But I have to tell you, if you have your emotions stirred and that is all, you have missed out on what God is up to. There's more to it than that. And some prefer an intellectual experience, and they don't want to open their mouth to sing. That's, everybody's different. I get it. Some don't want any movement. That's just, it's very internal, and they want an intellectual experience only. And can I tell you that I don't believe that's necessarily what God has for us either. Some churches base their entire belief system or worship experiences on one of these things. And I have heard it said this way, and I tend to agree. If you are all doctrine, you will dry up. If you are all spirit, you will blow up. If you can be both, you will grow up. If you're a church that's all doctrine and the frozen chosen and everybody looks like they have been baptized in pickle juice, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, don't point, but you know what I'm talking about, all right? The reality is that will dry up. There's no life there. The doctrine is great, but also if you're all spirit-led and you won't take time to be in God's word at all and you want all to be the emotion of it, you'll blow up. Listen, let me be honest. You'll create a lot of noise and very little will be happening. And so together, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the word of God, taking it in, understanding and living it out, together we begin to grow up. I hope and pray that's who we are as a church. I want us to be filled and empowered by the Spirit. And I want to leave here excited and drained at the same time because it's been a wonderful experience of worship. But I want to leave here transformed by the knowledge of the Scripture as well. So if we're maturing in our love for God, then we will take His word, we will seek to understand it, and we'll seek to live it out one step at a time. Now, Paul goes on to pray a little more. Look again at verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That's what's going to come by your mature love for Him. Then he says this in verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He's praying that we, the Philippians, and now in turn us, would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. So here's the million-dollar question. What is the fruit of righteousness? In reading this and looking at a bunch of different commentaries, and that's sort of part of my process each week of preparing for a scripture, one author, Warren Wiersbe, what he said stood out to me in a powerful way. I'm going to read you three sentences. Listen to it. He says, what is the fruit that God wants to see in your lives? Certainly He wants the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Christian character that glorifies God. He says also, Paul compares winning lost souls to Christ as bearing fruit, Romans 1:13. And he also names holiness as spiritual fruit, Romans 6:22. He exhorts us to be fruitful in every good work in Colossians 1. And Paul also reminds us that our praise is the fruit of lips, Hebrews 13:15. So I read that and I thought, yes, I think that's it, that the fruit of righteousness is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of righteousness is a godly character. The fruit of righteousness is a holy life. The fruit of righteousness is sharing the gospel. All those things make sense to me, like he says. But then he said something that stopped me in my tracks. It was so convicting. Listen to what he said. He said, the fruit tree does not make a great deal of noise when it produces its crop. It merely allows the life within to work its way out, and fruit is the result. Let me read it again. The fruit tree does not make a great deal of noise when it produces its crop. It merely allows the life within to work its way out, and the fruit is the result. Listen, it convicted me. The last thing I want is for my life to make a lot of noise and have very little fruit. The last thing I want for our faith family is for us to make a lot of noise and have very little fruit. On a typical Sunday morning this spring, between all the children in the back in the nursery and in the ones under five, it's a lot of them. Sometimes it's around 50 back there, plus the adults, and you think all of them, plus then all of us in our two worship services gathered together. It's been around 400 people gathering, coming in and out of the doors on a Sunday. That's not those participating online. So you think through that. It's exciting and great to know 400 people come to worship together. But can I be honest? We can make a lot of noise in here. But if we don't leave with the fruit of righteousness in us, I'm going to be honest, I think we're wasting our time. So my prayer is that we have the fruit of righteousness in my life and in yours. Well, how in the world do we do that? Well, I think we pray that God will give us that. And then we begin to figure out what that means. Galatians chapter 5 says that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and goodness. So we pray that God would help us to have that character in our lives, the character of godly character of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and goodness. That's what we want to have in our lives. And so if we ask for that, I'm convicted that I can make a lot of noise. We live in a noisy society, but people don't need to see me all excited about something or mad about something or upset about. You realize how upset people get about things? It's ridiculous in this day and age. People always have something to talk about and a cause to agree with. What people need to see is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. That will stop them in their tracks. That will help them want what you have. That's what they need. The unbelieving world finds believers unbelievable because of the way many believers live their lives. Let me say that again. The unbelieving world finds believers unbelievable because of the way many live their lives. What they need to see in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and goodness. The fruit of righteousness. And so in my own life, I realize I've got some work to do in some of those. And so here's what I've learned to do and what I believe this is about. If we're praying for that fruit to grow, if I want that fruit to grow in me, then I've got to have fertile soil. I have to have prepared ground. So how do you prepare the soil of your life? Here's a couple of ways really quickly. This is what prepared soil, fertile soil looks like. For some people, it looks like forgiveness. For some of us, we've got to find a way to forgive someone that we're holding on to a struggle for or a difficulty with, because if you want the fertile ground of the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in you, you got to find a way to have fertile ground, to have prepared ground, and it starts with forgiveness. So you ask God to help you forgive that person. For others of us, that prepared ground, tilling up the ground, it looks like restraint. It looks like restraint. We have to restrain ourselves in conversation, restrain ourselves in actions at times to say, God, I have fertile ground. I'm going to ask you to produce in me the fruit of righteousness. For some of us, to prepare your ground of your life, it looks like bold kindness. It's time for you to step out of your comfort zone and perform some bold act of kindness that the Holy Spirit's leading you to, that you know has been there, that's been a struggle. It's just time to take the next step. For some, it's acts of service and love. For others, it's not being easily offended. Listen, people get offended so easy. Amen? Have you not noticed? You must not get online if you didn't know that. So people are easily offended. So about all kinds of things. And can I tell you, one of the best ways you can prepare the soil of your heart and of your mind and of your body is to just to make a renewed commitment. You know what? I'm not going to be so easily offended. I think what that person just said was dumb, but I'm not going to be so easily offended. I think they're wrong, but I'm not going to be so easily offended. It's a decision we make, and I would encourage you to consider that. For some, it means putting others first, and for others, it's a radical willingness to help people find Jesus, whatever it takes. It's not saying, no, we won't do this, that, or this, that. It's saying, God, we will do whatever it takes for people to be discipled and grow and come to know you and who you are. And so what does it take in your life and in my life to make the ground fertile, to make the soil ready, to prepare and make things right? I've told you guys this before, but I see this man's dear wife here in the room, and what a godly woman and family. But Billy Gore, who passed away years ago, was so kind one year to bring his tractor to my house to till up a huge spot for us to have a garden. We had bought a home. It was our first home to own. And so he bought his tractor. It wasn't too far, probably a mile or so away. He brought it to our house and he tilled it up and got it ready for us. And I am ashamed to say we got busy and distracted and never planted a thing. I'll never forget when he asked me weeks later, well, how's your garden going? And had to say, well, I've got the most beautiful bunch of weeds you've ever seen in your life. Because that's all that grew. Why? Because I had the best of intentions and the soil was prepared, but then I didn't have any follow through. I regret that, but it's just the reality of it. Now, take that for your own life. You can have the best of intentions based off of what I've just said, which would be that you want to get your ground ready. You want to offer forgiveness where you need to. You want to be restraint where you need to. You want to have kindness where you need to. You want to show acts of service and love. You want to be ready for the fruit of righteousness, God's word, to take hold in your life, to be understood and lived out. And you're waiting for this great thing to happen. But I will tell you, it is easy to say, yes, this is what I will do, to take even a few little steps to make it happen and still get distracted with the follow through. And the follow through really goes back to, don't miss this, it really goes back to the word of God. All the best intentions to get to know God through his word will not help you get to know God through his word. It takes a dedicated commitment, setting your alarm. Have a daily alarm. I've got a couple of daily alarms that go off to remind me of certain things. My wife has a couple that go off to remind her of certain things. Listen, take your phone, set a daily alarm that says, read my Bible. Take it in. Understand it. Live it out. Find a way to build that, because I promise you, intentions aren't going to help you have the fruit of righteousness. It will be the next right step in front of you that allows the Holy Spirit to do that work in you. So let me wrap this up by reading one more time this prayer. Paul says this, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment, that you can be mature in your love, have discerning love and loving discernment. It's a mature love for God, not a surface love. So that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ and be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So the next step for you today and for me today is to commit to pray this prayer. Let's take Paul's model and let's pray it for ourselves and for others all week long. Find someone that you want to pray this for. Pray for yourself and for others to mature in God's word, to take it in, to understand it, and to live it out. I can't think of anything better I could pray for my three sons right now than that God would help them to be mature in their love for him and that he would fill them with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus. So pray that for your family. Pray it for your parent. Pray it for your spouse. Pray it for your neighbors. Don't forget your neighbors. We've been praying for our neighbors. Pray it for your neighbors. Pray for yourself and others to mature in God's love. Second, pray for yourself and others to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Remember, a noisy believer does not equate with a fruitful believer. And I want to be fruitful. I want you to be fruitful. So may love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control grow in the soil of our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Take the next wise step and prepare your life, whatever it takes, to offer forgiveness, to seek forgiveness, whatever you need to do to get yourself ready for the next wise step in that regard. Take that next step. And so when we have an invitation in a moment, I'm going to invite you to follow through in one of those ways. I want to invite you to maybe something to come and pray and say, I want to begin to pray this for my children, or I want to pray this for my spouse, or I want to pray this for a next door neighbor. I want to pray it for somebody else in our faith family. Just make a renewed commitment to that today. Some of you may want to come and get on your knees and just say, God, I've got to get my ground prepared. And so it starts with, will you help me with this? And whatever that area is, just be obedient in that regard. Others, maybe God's calling you to give your life to Jesus and you want to know what it means to follow him. I'll be right here. I'd love to talk to you about that. If I'm with someone else, Kale will be right here. Would love to talk to someone about what it means to follow Jesus and to know him. Maybe for you, God's calling you to unite with our faith family. I want you to understand that our prayer for one another needs to be that we would mature in our love for the Lord, and that we would bear the fruit of righteousness in our lives, not just a noisy life, but one that bears righteousness. And that's what we can do together. We can show the joy of Christ, the love of Christ, the kindness of Christ to others. You come if that's what God is saying. But before we do any of that, let's go back to what I told you early on we were going to do. I want to invite you to make a commitment for the next 7 days to either text, call, or write a note to somebody different every day that says to them, I had you in my mind, I have you in my heart, and this is my prayer for you. And so as they come to prepare to sing, I will share with you a sample of what I'm talking about here on the screen. Yours might be, I did this in the early service. I just texted a friend of mine who's a pastor. So just a quick text to say, I'm thinking about you today. I'm thankful for you, and I'm praying that God will use you in power today. And I texted that to him at 8:30 this morning. He immediately replied how much that blessed him and made a difference in his life. It was just that quick for me to be an encouragement to him, and the same for you. You may say, Chris, I can't pray out loud for anybody. I'm asking you to use your thumbs, not your tongue at this point, so it's going to be easier. You can do it. So just take a moment to text that prayer. Just something simple. God, that you might give them health or blessing. Or just pray, I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you. And just that simple. I have you in my mind. I have you in my heart. I have you in my prayers. That'll stay up here. Use that as a sample. Now you say, I don't know. I feel weird doing that. They're going to think it's strange that I text them out of the blue. Maybe. I promise you, when you hit send, you will not kill over dead. I'm telling you, you can do this, all right? Now, they may get it, and if they've never had a prayer from you, they might be surprised and have an issue, but it won't be on your end. So would you do that? You say, Chris, is this necessary? Is this silly? No. Let me tell you how much a difference it makes in my life every week. I'm telling you. You want to help somebody else find joy? You be the joy giver for just a moment. If you don't have a phone, just take out the little sheet of paper in front of you in the back of the pew and write the name of who you're going to do this for later. But if you do have the phone, the first 2 minutes of our invitation, they're going to sing and the rest of us are going to sit here and let's follow through and do this right now. So I'm inviting you to encourage someone like Paul right now. All right? Take time to do it. And I'll come back when I'm through with my text prayer and we'll have our regular invitation.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and make them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. I am Yours, set apart for You. I am Yours, hungry for Your truth. Take my life, You are all I live for. I am Yours.
So I texted a friend who I haven't been able to communicate with for a couple of weeks in Maine, just to tell him I love him, I'm praying for him, and I'm praying for God to do some specific things in his family. Now listen, the reality is, it didn't take me but 90 seconds. But I trust that it will make a difference in his life and encourage him. That's the power you hold. You have the power because of what God is doing in your life and because of who He's made you to be as His ambassador, as His priest, as His son or daughter. You have an opportunity to be an encouragement, to bring joy to others. So I hope you did that. I hope you'll practice it all week long. But now as we move forward with the rest of our invitation, We're going to sing some more. And as we do, I invite you to come. I invite you, if you need to pray for God to do a work in the soil of your life, if you have a decision to make, if I can pray with you, if you've got someone you texted and you want to just come pray for them, someone will come pray with you. Whatever God is saying to you, would you be obedient to Him right now? Let's stand together. Take my voice and let me sing Always Only for My King. You come
then
now.
Take my voice and let me sing Always Only for My King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee.
I'm yours.
I am yours. Take my will. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be sing this chorus out. And I am yours, set apart for you. I am yours, hungry for your truth. Take my life, you are all I live for. I am yours, set apart for you. I am first verse, take my life and let it be. Sing that out. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. And take my hands and make them move. And take my hands and make them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. And I am yours. I am yours, set apart for you. I am yours, hungry for your truth. Take my life, you are all for. See that again. I'm yours. I am yours, set apart for you. I am yours, hungry for your truth.
encourage you to take just a moment to stop and think through in your own life. Maybe you've already dealt with it at your seat, an area that you know that you need to prepare your soil for, to be used by Him. Just take a second to ask Him to do that. For others, maybe you've just been challenged today to really begin to pray specific prayers for family, for friends, for a neighbor, whoever God's laid on your heart. I pray that you would maybe just make a renewed commitment to pray that prayer of Paul's right there every day for them. God, for others of us in here that maybe we've got a circumstance or situation in our life that is difficult, painful, Lord, I'm asking you to move on their behalf for your glory, that you do a work in them. God, thank you for the people you keep bringing to be a part of our faith family. My prayer is that we would never take for granted one moment that you are assembling an army to be a light in our community, in our city, our nation, and around the world. Lord, we pray and we thank you for your plan and how you're doing that. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit us at www.albertvillefbc.church. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.